Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and I'm with you here to help to make a stronger connection between you and our beloved Christ, our Trinity, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua, to bring blessings to your life that are just waiting for you to receive. They've already been given, but maybe the connection hasn't been made yet. And that's what we can help you with. That's why we're here. I don't think Nancy's going to be with us today.
I am. I'm here.
Oh, you are? Well, my goodness. God bless you, darling. again, Nancy had another important family event today.
We got back just in time.
Oh, you did. Wonderful. All right. Well, they changed the format on me just a little bit, and I didn't know to expect that. So that's why I'm a couple of minutes dragging my feet. But I am all here, heart and soul. So,
yay.
Yeah. Well, how was your family time?
It was really beautiful. And lots of kids and all having a bowl with stickers and balloons and making their own little mariachis. And, you know, they just kind of run around in these rooms and they all get along. And it was really pretty lovely. So, yeah, so a little blessing to my niece, Natalie, who turned 50. And it was just a whole sacred, special family time. So we're glad to be home safe. We got some cold weather, rainy weather up here, but we roads were good, and we're home. So, yay.
Well, great. Well, we've got cold, almost rainy weather up here. It's supposed to be raining by dark, so we're pretty much in the same pathway, you know, for everybody who's listening in. Nancy and I are both Texans, so we, you know, we get pretty much the same draft of weather. She's a little further south than I am, and that's the only difference. So I would just love to start our call by hearing from our community, because what we want to do is start. We've already threaded the needle, but we want to move that needle back and forth to make together a perfect seam between you and the blessings that you're waiting to receive. So how would you like to talk? Anyone who wants to, it's just *6 and then press 1 and we will pick up your question. Now, as for me, I am still just in the glow of Christmas. We had a wonderful time together and the spirit of the season. And we've been having great learning and visitation with our graduate blessing seminar that we are conducting online. So we had one of our four conference calls yesterday, and pretty soon we're going to actually be expanding this to include all of our blessing givers. This is the year of expansion for us, and we're already around the world, but we're going to be moving even further, God willing, and we know he's willing, on the subject of spreading blessings to you. So, Nancy, do you see any participants on your end?
I don't. I do not. So jump on, folks, because we are here and would love you to come on. And I guess before we start, today is January 21st, and it's my brother-in-law, the one who passed away in July 4th, a year and a half ago. It's his birthday today, so my sister's remembering him. And, you know, yesterday was Zoe's second birthday, and tomorrow is Isla's fourth birthday. So he was sort of sandwiched in between them. So we've got all these wonderful birthdays, and then my niece, of course, was the 18th, and we celebrated her just together. But lots of January birthdays, and Glenda's got a good one coming up, February 4th.
Oh, we won't talk about that one.
But yeah, so blessings for my sister Cindy and her family, all the kids, and grandkids. And then for, you know, Ricky, I think you brought that up last week, just about the transition. Sometimes it takes longer uh-huh. than we think for their soul and for families to sort of, you know, settle into this whole new way of life. And, you know, they're getting there. So thank you, everyone, for throwing out, you know, thought and a prayer and for the powerful blessing every Sunday. So thank you. And we do have a caller, so I'm going to open your line.
We have
Helen. Helen, welcome.
Hey, hi. Well, you know, it's unbelievable. For the last 2 weeks, I've been so preoccupied with getting ready for the freeze and not wanting to break any pipes. I totally forgot to tune in. And I'm thinking, do you think anything could be having a plan to discourage us? Should we worry about that? Is that maybe
I didn't get your question completely, Ellen. Could you ask it again?
Yes. The last 2 weeks, I totally missed being at church. I call it my church. Because uh-huh. I've been so preoccupied with getting ready for the freeze. And I totally tuned out of attending. And then I thought, wow, do you think something could be interfering or sabotaging my attendance, like nasty creatures?
Oh, I don't think so, Helen. I think you're just
good.
A busy lady.
Good. Sometimes I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah. I think you're just a busy lady, and I have to tell you, I missed you, and you were on my list to call to make sure you were okay, because I know you're always here. So I'm glad we took this up, because now I know you're fine.
Yeah.
And, but you are one of the busiest people I know.
Really?
Nancy's busier than you are. But,
of course. She accomplishes things. Me, I'm just busy.
That is tough competition.
Well, you know, I always think I'm very busy doing a lot of unimportant things. You know, running after all the creatures, feeding the birds, doing this, doing that. So I'm, a displaced mother.
It's not unimportant to them.
Yes. But I want a blessing for my twin sister.
I think,
you know, she says she doesn't believe in God. She, you know, she thinks it's all made up. She has, her heart is blocked. And I have tried, but I don't think I'm the right person to encourage her towards Christ. So I really want to ask you all to help with a blessing for her, that somehow Jesus touches her heart and makes himself known to her in whatever way he wills it so, in whatever way is right for her and that he knows best. But that's the blessing I would really like to have.
Okay. Well, I'm sure she needs it, and we will be very careful not to impose a story on her.
Yeah.
You know, I've encountered in my work, and I think you can see why, people who would say, "Well, I don't believe in God, and therefore I don't believe anything about your story." And I just said, you know, stories are not supposed, we're not supposed to believe in stories. Stories are only a way of connecting us with something we do need to believe in, and that's our own connection with immortality. And everybody wants that. Everybody wants to have some connection with immortality. Now, for some people, it means, well, I'll become part of the universe. That's okay. It's a good beginning. You know, a lot of people cannot tolerate the presence of God being impersonated because they've had that experience, maybe not physically, but perhaps intellectually, with people believing stupidly in gods on thrones wielding swords of lightning, you know, and vengeance and human annihilation when he gets mad at us and that sort of thing. And they have just completely washed that out of their thoughts because even if there was such a God, they wouldn't want to know him. Okay? And I would actually have to say that the number one reason a lot of people don't believe in God is because of stupid people who misrepresent him. And so let's give blessings to stupid people misrepresenting God also.
That's good.
The most powerful force in this universe is the force that created it. And I have had the pleasure of knowing some of the top scientists in the world. Now, not so much biological scientists, but physicists and astrophysicists. And that's because they come to talk to me about what Yeshua told me. They're really kind of impressed that an amateur could get as many things right as I did, because they expected me to be another stupid person. And I would just tell them, well, you know, I didn't come up with this. I'm just writing down what I was told. And maybe I didn't even interpret it correctly. And they said, well, you got pretty close. So we leave it at that. Yeah. But one of the most interesting and fulfilling explanations I've heard from anyone is that there is no way there could be such a complex, vast, and multi-layered existence without a plan.
That's
that
right.
Works
without,
in
without the
without
creator.
A plan that works in harmony over and over again in mm-hmm. all the countless ways, making all the adjustments necessary to keep it from either collapsing or colliding. Now, in addition to that, that means there's got to be a center. There's got to be a center. And that center has to be empty, because if it was filled with matter, it would have long ago collided. So that center has to be empty. Well, there is nothing that could create an empty center except a vast and eternal being. Now, does that being want to carry the identity of God? I doubt it. I really do, because I think that the universe that emerged from that immortal, amazing, incredible place of being came about without any aforethought of needing to be worshipped, nor does he need to be worshipped. There is an eternity there that is being respected by the highest minds in science, and it doesn't go away. Albert Einstein acknowledged it. Some of the greatest minds that have ever lived acknowledged that that has to be there, or nothing else would make sense. But what we've got going on in the world today, now just hold this for just, give me the patience of three more minutes, and I'll give you an interesting contrast to that statement I just made. We've got going on in the world a conspiracy of atheism, because the power oligarchy that is here in the world does not want competition. It wants to reach the highest state of power with no interference. And so it is creating actually quite noticeable, even to an ordinary intellect having trouble making a simple sentence in a, well, in a an online document. Could be a text document, could be an email, could be on social media. But I think we're all kind of familiar with spell checker. All right. Well, spell checker is supposed to intuit what you're trying to write, and to the best of its ability to intuit and get it right, it corrects the word. All right. Spell checker on Google. I don't know about some of the other platforms, but on Google, spell checker will not correct God. Will not. I could write G-A-D, and it will Phil correct to gladly. I could refine it a little bit more, like capitalizing the G. So it's capital G-A-D, and it will not correct it to God. It will correct it to get. It will do, or gosh, anything. And, okay, you think, well, all right, it's just kind of leaning in another direction. So then I will actually write capital G-O-D, and it will spell correct that into get.
Wow.
It will not of its own allow God to stay there.
Isn't that something? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. So some of the most influential oligarchy influencers and controllers have a big deal to say about whatever Google does. So Google is actually spell-checking God out of our vocabulary. And it goes, now that's something right there. But let me tell you something now, recently that has happened, is that it's spell-checking out traditional, correct English. It used to be I would type in, let's say, a conjuncted word such as I'm or it's or there. It will not correct it. It will not put the apostrophe in. It will not. And if I put it in, it will take it out. And if I write I'm, like I am, I'm, and ask it to fill this, it will fill it as instant message. So it's going in favor of internet jargon over traditional correct English.
Wow.
So it's actually editing out correct education.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah. So I'm just letting you know that there are influences going on that have a very specific agenda to rewrite our history.
Yes.
And part of rewriting our history is taking God out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So people who are, I would say, 90 to 100% secular are going to probably find that they're being supported in this direction. Young people who have been very poorly educated, they haven't been taught English. They don't know how to add 4, 4, and 2. You know, they couldn't come up with 10 from 4, 4, and 2. They're going to feel very affirmed, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I don't know these things. IE will take care of me. And that's the direction we're going in. The formulators want IE to be God.
AI? Yeah.
AI. I'm sorry. AI. Well, I kind of like to say it backwards. I think
I love it. Oh, gosh. It's
maybe
true,
that
though.
Was my subconscious mind surfacing.
So what we have to do is just not use Google, then. Just wipe it out.
Well, I don't know what the other platforms are, Helen, because I haven't tested on those. And I do actually have all of my documents saved in Google and my passwords. And so I'm kind of stuck with that for now. But I'm
a lot of work.
Being very mindful of what I'm noticing. Mm-hmm. And I suggest that all of you be mindful about what you're noticing, because we are not, we are not in an agenda-free culture.
No, we're
just
not.
Because they're neutralizing God does not mean they're neutralizing their agenda.
Yeah.
They
right.
just don't want any competition.
Well, they'll be surprised. That's not going to last.
Yeah. I have been seeing this little t-shirt advertised online, and it's got kind of a message on the front of it, and with a cute little picture on it and interesting text. It says, "I read the last chapter." Then below the picture, "God wins."
Yay.
I was thinking about buying that and wearing it, but I'm not much a person for t-shirts.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was awfully cute. And in my book, I would say, yeah, God wins. And it'll be an interesting journey to get to the point where that's no longer a debatable idea.
Yeah.
But in a completely secular culture, the influencers win. And AI will probably come very close to winning, but it can't possibly. AI cannot think with intuition, even though it has trillions of bits of data. Intuition cannot work with it. It could find the most subtle pathway toward an end, taking into consideration various things. It also has no emotion. It has no feeling. And so without emotion, without feeling, it cannot have intuition. It cannot have non-centralized perspectives. In other words, AI is the central perspective, and it cannot have a non-centralized perspective such as yours or such as mine. So the wonderful grace of God, and getting back to who we are and what we're doing here today, the wonderful grace of God is God has created us to have a centralized perspective. In other words, you are a sovereign being. And you have the right to your opinion, your viewpoint, your beliefs, your feelings, your creative orientation, your love above all else, and your basic preference and perspective on life. In other words, you have been given your own centralized perspective. So as with every other being. Every other being has their own unique perspective. What people will eventually discover about AI is there is only one perspective. Only one. And that's how God will conquer it. Because God has an infinity of centralized perspectives, which are all Him, and yet in respect of each separate perspective, it's a magnificent orchestration. So just remember that. You are important. It's important that you maintain your integrity, your individuality, your unique beliefs, and your preferences, your love, and your presence in life. That's your vote in this generation of life that we all share. And our ability to elevate this unique generation of life into something really actually worth living. So that was a long point around the barn, taking into consideration, I think, some important things that we usually do not take up on this call. But anyway, thanks, Helen. Did that help?
Yes. You know, and she's in his hands, so.
She's in his hands, and she's a secular person, and it won't see her through to the end of her life unless she goes out in an auto accident suddenly without prediction. It won't carry her through the years. She will get challenged on that secular perspective because it's all going to let her down.
Right.
But, you know, you got to let her have it.
Yeah, let her have her.
You got to just let her have it.
Put it in Jesus' hands And I'll just pray for her.
Helen, what's her name? I just wanted to think of her.
Nafsika. N-A-F-Sika. Yeah, it's N-A-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, I-K-A.
I-K-A. Nafsika.
Greek.
Beautiful.
It's Greek.
Yeah, it's a Greek name.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty old name. All right, thank you. Okay, who's on the line?
And we'll remember your mom too.
Oh yeah, mom, you know, mom, she's connected. Yeah, she's a very
difficult
person, and she was married to a very difficult man, and she survived it. And he loved her. I'm going to tell you, for a man who was pretty rough to live with, he always took care of her. I mean, I have to thank him for that.
That's great.
Always to her, and he always, you know, their marriage was good. Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I let you guys go.
Thank you,
Helen.
Right.
Take care, Helen. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Glenda, we have. Hi, Christopher. Good to hear from you today.
Hey, everybody. Oh, I've been here the last couple of weeks, but I just haven't been speaking. So today I have a list of blessings to ask for. Seems that there's a lot of people in need around me right now, so I'm just going to offer these up to the community and to Christ. My friend Dee Dee has been going through, there's some health challenges. She's not quite sure what's going on with it. And so blessings for her. And then her son, Seth, found out this week that he's going to be parting ways with his wife, and there are three beautiful children involved, and I just want to send out prayers to their family. God bless them. I know he's going through a lot of emotional challenges right now. God bless them. That affects Dee Dee as well, so I just want to pray for all of them. And then I have three people who've shown up in my space this week who are having very challenging health conditions, some of them long-term, and it's exacerbated by the fact that they're involved in the system, you know, whether it's mental health or whether it's workman's comp or whether it's insurance issues, they're not getting the care that they need, and they're exhausted in part by having to constantly advocate for themselves. And I have a prayer for Sophia, for Mario, and for Svatka, who are all having their own health challenges and being very, very challenged in, you know, and overextended by the struggle within the system. And so a blessing that doors will open on a systemic level for them to find the support they need, as well as for healing for their bodies.
Amen. Okay, we've got them on our list, got them in our hearts. And want to lift them to a place where systems are less important. There's a two-sided sword to human systems. One is they help you, and the other is they capture you. So that if they don't provide the answer you need, you're still stuck with it. And a lot of people are in that condition right now because of economic stresses that are impinging upon our infrastructure nationwide. So I want to take that to a larger prayer, to where we as a nation will make better decisions about our economic distribution, what to do with the money we have, and how to better serve our population with it.
Yes. Yes, please. Yes, maybe so. I have one final request for a blessing, and this is for myself and all of us who are all of us in service throughout our week. And that is this beautiful idea from the gospel somewhere. I don't know exactly where it's from. I think it's Paul says that he needs to decrease so that Christ can increase in him. And I have a prayer for myself right now on my altar that I can decrease so that Christ may increase in me and in all of us who serve, so that our service can come from his joy and in the love that we are, so that we can be buoyant. Because I confront situations where people are powerless. They seem to be powerless. There seems to be, you know, convolutions that are just making life impossible for people. May we decrease so that His grace can increase in us and our love can keep us buoyant as we confront these types of problems and issues, and that doors of possible solutions may open, and that we may not be exhausted by that process of serving, but inspired by it and creative within it.
Thank you, Christopher. And that's a very meaningful and important request. But I would like to add just a little twist to it, if you don't mind. And that is, sometimes we are burdened by the fact that we created this universe and we didn't. That we created the world and we didn't. That we created the problem and we didn't. It's a very heavy thing, especially to be in a family and something's not going right and you can't quite get an answer and you just keep throwing back on yourself. Well, what part of this did I create? You know, I can't change them, but maybe I can change what I created. Sometimes you need to just let go. Just let go completely, because even if there's something there you created, it was a historical event, not a current event. Let go of the history so that you can live currently, because whatever power you have exists right now in present time. And history is a burden to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You didn't create a sun, Christopher. So you're not responsible for sun flares. But you're creating your life right now. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've been tapping into the reason I bring this prayer is because I feel like I'm having this role reversal. The closer I get to Christ and the more I have that intimacy with Him, I go, wait a minute, it's not about these outer engagements as much as it is about living in the buoyancy of that love. And that from there, all these other doors open. You know, I had it in reverse, and I was so often trying to, or feeling responsible or trying to control, and this reversal is happening. So I have this prayer for all of us that reversal occurs, like we find that love and that buoyancy so that, you know, we're coming at it from a different
place.
That's
what I was trying to say. That was that little twist I wanted to put on it for you, because, you know, the fact is, the world is a heavy place. You know, it's not only heavy with grief or fear, anger, conflict, et cetera, et cetera. It's also full of gravity-bearing stuff. Try moving. I look around my house and I think, oh, my goodness, if I had to move again, I couldn't do it. I probably couldn't lift more than a few boxes, and then I'm done. So there's a lot of literal gravity as well as figuratively gravity, heavy, that we deal with. But what has no weight is the soul. What has no weight is the soul. It doesn't even belong in this realm of material existence, except that it chose to be here in order to be the love that it is, to bring blessings that it can bring, and to use your word, buoyance, to be the buoyant factor in the various situations it passes through. And so let your words come from the soul. Let your feelings come from the soul. Let your goals be those tasks that the soul would take unto itself. And let the world take care of itself. This is really basically what Yahshua meant when he said, follow life in the living. Let the dead bury the dead. He wasn't talking about deceased people. He was talking about dead matter, as in rocks, wagons,
houses, cares of the world, etc. That to him would be dead. And the heart, the soul is living. And you have a life to live for the duration God has given it to you. And so follow the living and the life. That's actually in Love Without End, in the chapter Pathways to Success. And of course, it's also in the book of Matthew. So that's really saying the same thing. And you just got to take your, but you know what? Here's the trap. You talk to people who are suffering, and they think if they can get you to carry half of their load, then they'll be better off because you're carrying half of their load. Okay, so you think, well, if I could be Christ-like, then I would be able to carry half of their load. So then you become Christ-like for a goals-oriented reason instead of for an intrinsic spiritual reason. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So let him lift their load. And you join them in spirit to levitate to where they're above their load. How does that feel?
Yeah, really good.
Me?
Love it.
Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you.
And he sure did lift our load, didn't he?
Yes, every day.
That's right.
Thank you, Christopher.
Yeah, thank you both so much. Have a blessed week, everybody.
So glad you came on today. We love you so much. We have a lot more callers, so this is exciting. Thank you, Christopher. We have, I think it's our Stormy here today.
A little follow-up on the trying to correct God you were talking about. Well, God doesn't need to be corrected.
No, our perception of God needs to be corrected.
That's just a funny why the spell check doesn't work. Well, I don't need to be corrected.
And that's true.
Just a silly connotation there, but I wanted to give a blessing about the fact that I have been in other people's dreams. There's a woman in town that occasionally I'm in her dreams. She's one of the few people that has a copy of my music. But you have been in my dream a couple of nights ago, Glenda, and it just reminds me of Bob Dylan's. And you've been in my dreams many times before, but it reminds me of Bob Dylan's lines, "I'll let you be in my dreams if you let me be in yours."
I like that. That's sweet.
You know, and I just give thanks that there's just another connection that we all can have. But I've been blessed that many other people have said that I have been in their dreams. And it wasn't a scary thing. It was a good thing.
That's good.
I just thought give that point of connection that we all can really have with each other. And something that I've been innately blessed with that people have told me that I had been in their dreams. Now, that's really, really nice.
It is very nice, and that's an affirmation of the fact that you really do travel in high ground, Stormy. So when people go to high ground in their dreams, and they do, not every night. Sometimes people are fretting through something, and they never quite make it upstairs. But people do go to high ground generally in their dreams, and that's where they find you.
I've talked many times, especially in Dallas particularly, where I was quite well known, that people have asked for a healing from me. And I say, if you really want a healing from me, I says it will be when we both go to sleep. And three times I have gone into people's homes. I have put married couples to bed. I sing them to sleep. I walk out and close the doors, and I have never seen them again. And then the healing starts. People trust me to sing them to sleep in their homes and lock the doors behind me. And I says, in our dreams tonight, the healings that you have asked for, it will happen. And Inner Peace Movement taught me, Francisco says, when a healing is complete, you have no memory of it. And I really like
that
idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think that's true.
But what a blessing that God uses me in such a light. And I enjoy it. He shows me just how beautiful I am. And in turn, I like to show other people just how beautiful they are.
We are very blessed to have you, Stormy. And look forward to hearing your voice every Sunday.
For me, you made me think something when you said, when a healing is complete, you have no memory. I always love this little saying. I remembered it as a child. It says, you've really forgiven when you forgot you forgave.
It's really actually true. It's when you truly forgive. You don't have to forgive. You don't have to forget because it's gone. There is no memory left. It really is gone. And I have had that experience with clearing out numerous events or people from my life who no longer belong there. And all it took was forgiveness and poof, they're gone.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're somewhere happily doing whatever they need to be doing next. But our time to work together was over. And just say poof. You don't have to forget. They're gone. And if they don't go, you haven't fully forgotten. Forgiven. I'm sucking on cough drops today to make sure I don't cough to everybody. And
you mentioned, this blessing call, it's better than a dream.
Amen.
Amen, yes. Well,
this blessing call is better than a dream.
That's nice to hear, Stormy. Nice to hear you say that. And, y'all, I would agree because more of us get to be together here as a community. We get to join and hear what we're each doing and where we need to go next. And so we have some more people on the board, Stormy. So we're just going to wish you a happy rest of your Sunday.
Absolutely. Alrighty. Love you, Stormy. Okay, Glenda, we have area code 707. I'm not sure who this is, but welcome.
Hello, my name is Sue from Northern California, and Christopher introduced me to you, Glenda, and this call and your books, and just really grateful to be a part of this circle. And
it's nice to meet you, Sue. Thanks for coming.
Nice to meet you, too. Yes, and so I am asking for a blessing today for my mother, Mary, who lives on the East Coast, and she's got some health challenges, and she's doing okay, but she could use a boost, I think. And so so I'm asking for a blessing for her, and also my sister, Christine, who's in Washington, and she just has been struggling with depression for a long time. And so I think I would just love for her to get a blessing as well. And
that's great.
And then for myself, I am starting a new aspect of the healing work that I do with people. And I just am asking for a blessing for that. It's still kind of in the formative stages, and I just am really praying to stay open for guidance and direction on this. So I thought I would ask for a blessing for that today.
Oh, that's great. Well, we wish you all the best with your new direction in healing and therapy, and we know that you're going to do well in it because you're joining with other people who want the same thing. In my experience in living, nobody ever did anything great alone. Even Yeshua had his 12 apostles. No one ever did anything great without a team, without a consensus of support from others that were pushing love, encouragement, and support in the common direction they all had. We are created to work together, not work alone. And I think that's I think that's just the right thing you're doing. And it may be even others you want to join or think about or connect to bring all of the energy that you're looking for to direct your course in life. So it doesn't mean we don't have our own special courses in life. We do, but we do it in concert with others. And I just wish you all the best. And since this is your first time to be here to receive a blessing today, I just want to say, and to anyone else who's coming here for the first time, there's absolutely nothing you have to do. This is not about you doing anything. You're just going to relax and receive. Allow yourself to receive whatever energy is flowed toward you, through you, in you, or awakened in you. It will come from celestial heights. It will come from the earth. It will come from, and then you will distribute it to others, but not till after your blessing is complete. So there are no movements. It's not yoga. It's not a form of meditation that requires a certain type of posture. Nothing except for you to be comfortable in whatever way you receive the best and the most. So thanks for coming, and we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much. All your words were just so perfect for what I needed to hear. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Okay.
Welcome to the community, Sue. We're happy you're here today.
Thank you.
So now we have 5-1. Is this Nancy?
Yes, it is, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Hello, Glenda.
Hi, Nancy.
The blessings that you have been giving are, going to my sister. She is about to start umbilicus stem cells taken from the umbilical cord of, they were going to throw it away anyway. But she's going to start that treatment this week, I think. So blessings on that. I'm about to get a tooth extracted tomorrow. Hold my hand, God.
Well, you won't feel a thing, dear.
I'll be sleeping.
That's right. You won't feel a thing. And they'll take care of you after it's over. You'll get through it. You'll be chuckling again.
So, and all of our, everything's good over here. And I just want to thank you. It's been, I'm fine.
You are. You're very fine. You're more than fine. And part of life is actually choosing to hold that orientation. It really is.
Yeah. So, Anyway, I just want, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, good.
Thank you. Blessings to family and friends and anyone who needs it. So,
okay.
And yes, stay warm.
Thank
stay
you,
warm.
Nancy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Love you. And now we have Dee Dee. Hi, Dee Dee. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me here. And I'm like Sue. I'm in the same community, and Christopher has turned me on to your book and to the calls. And I listened in last week, but didn't make myself known. And I appreciate Christopher's reaching out and sending a prayer out for my family, my son Seth and his family. And I think another part of the prayer I would love to see in there, excuse me, is for his wife to have her heart touched and opened. She doesn't trust anyone really at all. And it's just hard for me as a very caring person who's an empath and a healer myself. I've been doing Reiki healing since 2005. It's just she is very closed and very atheist oriented, and my son has kind of taken that on as well. So I know that Jesus is watching over them anyway. But I know Seth is going through a crisis right now, and it may be a door opener for him. And I'm just really praying that that can take place. And they've got 3 children, an 8-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Oh, my goodness.
Hunter, Ashton, and Olive, and they are beautiful. And I have some, I guess, fear about getting enough time with them, or when I'm available to see them may not match up with what they're going to dictate, you know, how, I don't know how it's going to unfold, but I just pray that it will be with ease and grace and with God's love in it, and that I still get good connection time with my grandkids. Because they are 9 hours from me by car. So that's part of what I'm struggling with. And Seth had indicated he had been suicidal, feeling suicidal.
Okay.
That's just been really weighing on me. And he
could
not have talked, you know, twice in the last week. And he seems like he's doing some good things. He's meditating. He was gone to acupuncture and taking care of himself better. But it's just really hard to see him so sad and torn apart. And
of course it is.
The same day I got the news that they were separating or had separated, I also got news that I had a bad pap smear and they want to do a biopsy. And this is my second go around with this in the last 7 years. So I'm hopeful it will be the same as it was before, but I'm having some odd things that have happened in the last week physically, and I'm just, you know, praying it will be all good and clear. I've just started a new job. It's just a lot in my life right now going on.
Yeah, that is a lot.
And I have
been. But we pray for each one of you.
Thank you. Yeah.
And in my experience, it's not a collective prayer you need. Each person that is weighing into your heart needs a prayer, a unique prayer for them to find their way to the higher ground, to find their way up, because the only way out is up. And for each one of us, up may look a little different, and the pathway up may be unique. The most important thing is to go on up. Sometimes we make our beliefs, whether they're religious, And within that domain, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, and so forth, we make these beliefs a requirement for going up. And then we scoot over to the other side of the equation and we make success a requirement for going up. We take secular agreements about the way the universe works and the way the world has to work and the way we have to get along to each other and whether there is or is not a God. We take those pathways as permission for how to go up. What I have learned in my way of finding who I am and my relationship with creation and the Creator is that I have found the way up is within me. It's within me. And as I go up, I find all the answers I need. And those answers explain then back to me what the truth really is. Because you have to go on up. You're not going to find answers that shake the world when you're down in the mud. You're not. Nobody does. We don't find our answers there. We don't find our peace there. We don't find our healing there. And if it's only one step up, if it's only one step up, that's all it takes. It's just you've got to have your orientation up, up. And this is why before every healing that Yeshua ever offered, he would ask if your faith was there, if you had faith in this being a possibility for you. He inquired about where are you focusing? Are you looking up? Are you dwelling in fear? Are you wanting to get escape from a problem? I wish I had a verse in a chapter and a verse for you, but I don't. I'm not really, I study the Bible intimately, and I deliberately forget the chapters and verses because as a child, I was negatively imprinted by people who couldn't wait to quote a chapter and a verse to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that chapter and verse were a whole lot more important than the message. So anyway, here's the content of what I'm saying, is that this man came to Yeshua and he wanted to have a blessing and a healing. And Yeshua looked at him, and he said, well, first, go and forgive your brother and let him forgive you. In other words, you got to be pointed in the right direction toward receiving anything. There was a woman who just was walking along in a crowd, and she touched his robe because she thought she could get a blessing by just touching his robe. And he said, hey, wait a minute, who just touched me? And there was a little bit of annoyance in the way this was reported. Not to say that he was rude or uncaring, but a little bit of like, if somebody crossed a boundary, who's back there? You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But after he talked to her and she expressed her desire to him, he knew that she was there because her faith was strong enough just to reach out and touch him. So she got her blessing. But there's always something. And even if we're not told in words that he qualified a person before offering the blessing to them, we're told after they received their blessing, because he would always give them the credit. It's your faith that made you whole. So now, I'm going to such lengths to explain this, Didi, is because I can see that you're immersed in a lot of negativity, and you want relief from that, and you want your loved ones to be relieved from that. And so often we pray from inside the hurt and we miss the landscape that exists beyond the hurt. I'm sure as a Reiki practitioner, you're already familiar with that principle in lifting other people to a better place. But it needs to apply to you as well and your family as well, because you've got to go up. And up may just mean having more confidence. It may just mean knowing
that it's not your time to suffer. And the answer is just around the corner. Once you can get that orientation, then you're open to receive the rainbow of blessings that are waiting for you. And that's my gift for you right now. And then we'll also offer a blessing for you and for your loved ones.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I understand.
I'm sure you do. But, you know, understanding and doing are two different things.
Yeah.
I can preach a good sermon and then not go walk it.
Right.
It's the walking that counts.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Dee Dee, for calling today. I'm so glad you joined us.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate your help and your teachings and your prayers.
You've got them.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You've got them. You definitely have them, Dee Dee. Ken, your line is open.
Hello, Nancy. Hello, Linda. It's been quite a while since I've come on the call, but I've definitely attended from our wet and somewhat rainy Northern California territory as well. And, for many years I've been in the process of trying to deal with some pretty serious, health and medical issues that have dealt with chronic infection and cancer and a bunch of other things. And thank God I'm finally kind of like coming to the end of this, truly coming to the end of this. And I feel it like in my bones and body and soul and head and everything. And it's, on one hand, it's a huge relief. And yet on the other hand, it's very overwhelming. Because it's kind of like the analogy of, you know, when your eyes are closed and you're in a hole, you don't know you're in a hole. And then all of a sudden your eyes are open and you're like, oh, great, my eyes are open. And then it's like, oh, crap, I'm in a hole. and that's like exactly where I am. I'm looking around me and I'm.
Just look up and then you'll be looking outside that hole.
Yeah, with a really narrow focus. It says, I see this little speck of light, but it's light.
That's
it's not
enough.
Dirt.
That's enough, Ken. It really is.
That's actually a really good perspective. It's a lot better than looking in front of you and trying to claw your way out of it.
Absolutely. That's the key. There's the answer. Hey, listen, you know, I'm coming out with a book very soon. It's called The Only Way Out Is Up, and it's going to answer a lot of questions for a lot of people, including what do I believe? What do I believe in? Well, the first person you got to believe in is yourself. And in order to find something about you that's really worth believing in to you, I'm not saying to me, but to you, because you're probably pretty – like everybody else, you're probably pretty critical about a lot of things on yourself. But look at your heart. All the things in life you've given your love to. And it doesn't matter if you were or were not loved back. The fact is, it's an opportunity. It's an honor to love. What would life, just think for a minute, everybody, what would life be like if you couldn't love? That would be a whole lot bigger loss than if you were not loved. If you couldn't love, you would lose your semblance to God if you couldn't love. It's an honor to be able to love. So, I know everybody here has loved. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't loved. Okay? And the other thing is, your soul. Have you really said hello to your soul lately? Well, that's what you're going to find when you look up. Okay? Your desire and your strength in looking up comes from your heart. And then the focus and that little speck of light up there
That's your soul. It never went down in the gutter. It's up there waiting for you to come. Like, it's saying, hello, does anybody hear me? I've been up here calling your name like for 23 years. So there's something about you. You can love and believe in it. That's the first thing you got to put in place. And then look up and see where it takes you.
I think that.
I love that. Ken, I have a lovely saying that's like, you know, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. I've always thought that was pretty good.
That is good. It's like, who created the hole? I wonder. You're really good at that, Ken. How about doing something different?
Oh, well, we all do it, but it's a fun way to look at it, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
the other thing is, I think that, you know, you're talking about the essence or the necessity of being able to love. And I'd have to say if we couldn't love, there really wouldn't be a purpose of much of anything. And we look around a lot of the world and you're like, hello, people, you know, there's another way of being. It's not real hard. You just got to like turn the switch, right? Let it come to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I'm about to tell you is documented, science in, mental therapy. The number one proven, documented, repetitively successful technique for bringing people back in a social direction from being a sociopath or a psychopath is giving them either a plant or a pet to love. When they discover that they can love, every human being turns a corner.
Wow.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
It is. Tied with two commandments, right?
Yeah. But having it being something that they can touch and that is direct and is theirs, and it's their responsibility to say that is the thing that can and will turn the corner. That's magnificent.
It is. And actually, there have been a few cases where out of anger, not at the plant, let's say, but at the therapist, like, you think you're going to handle this with me, and they'll pick up the plant and throw it against the wall. And the next day, they're crying. Because they killed the one thing they ever loved. And so they want their plant back. They ask for their plant back.
Therapist, go away. Give me my plant.
There you go. There you go. I mean, there's 100 years of therapy in one potted plant.
Wow.
Something they could love. And they had to really, it's not unusual that they would try to destroy that plant because it's making them love and they don't want to love anything. They destroy it and they start crying.
Yeah.
The one thing I ever loved, and I killed it.
Give them a basil plant and a mint plant and they can actually use it too.
There you go. Well, I don't think I'd trust them with a pot and a pan on a fire. But
that's true. So,
but
thank you for that. Maybe go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, look at the two commandments that Yeshua gave. The only two: love one another, love God. In other words, you got to love something beyond yourself. You got to love something beyond yourself. And it doesn't matter where you start, does it? Because that'll take you right out of the hole.
Start where you are. It's the best place to start.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
no,
and
other
if you're
place
in
you
a hole made
start.
Of dirt, you can plant that. You can put that plant right there beside you.
And when it's raining, you get lots of water.
That's right. Or start an ant colony.
Oh boy, lots of metaphors.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you made us laugh. Thank you so much for that, Ken.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and a little bit of support in just clearing away the fog and making clarity for all of us. And actually, one thing I meant to call in, mention this last week, but ask Yeshua to bless the waters of the earth, because I feel that we need to have blessed waters, because maybe that can touch all the people that don't necessarily know how to ask for a blessing, but maybe that will be one thing that can touch them.
I like that idea a lot.
Me too.
And it goes back to the ancient traditions that have existed all over the world in all of our different forms of faith of baptism. Could be the baptism of a child. Could be the baptism of a person reaching their spiritual maturity. So let's bless the waters. I think that's a
baptism
great
of our planet. Baptism of our planet.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, Ken, it's been great talking to you. And you keep up the good work.
I'll be here and I'll be with you. Thank you so much.
All
absolutely.
Right. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Ken. So wonderful to hear you. We have one caller. Hi, it's Susan. Hi, Susan.
Yep.
How are you today?
Hi, everybody. Well, great. There's so much that was said that I want to stick in my head. First of all, thanks for stop digging. It reminds me of something in OA. We say, hey, you know, you may be in a bad place, but you don't have to pitch a tent, you know? So to say that, but so I love that. Thank you so much. You said, Glenda, but, I just thank you for all of it, every bit of it. I just want to share something that happened to me last night. My middle son, who's going through a difficult time, is very connected to him. It's always been. He's been very connected to me, and I know that there were many times when he's psychically troubled and will draw me in. And, sometimes it's misery loves company, whatever. I don't need to analyze it. I just know that happens a lot. And so there was some stress come up about the business we're in, and we were on the phone, and one thing led to another, and we got into a fight. And I could hear myself saying, your fault, you're being sucked in here. And I've said he's in a marriage where his wife could be abusive. And I said, you know, you have 2 feet, you can walk out. And I said, Susan, you can hang up. You can say, I have to go now, because I'm like him. I have the 2 feet who will stand there, you know. And so this time I heard it, and I said, just tell him that I'm getting off the call now and just hang up. And I went, good, because then I'm an example of what I'm telling him. And I'm making those changes, you know, and that was good. I hung up, and then I kind of went through the call, and I said, here's what you screwed up on the call. It kind of brought in the fight, and went, yeah, I saw what I did. It was like, oh boy, this was something I wasn't going to say. And then I did say it. And I knew before the call, you know, that I said, oh, you're not going to say this when you're talking and blah, blah, which was smart. And the call, I did. It led to blah, blah. So I said, what should I do? Should I text him and say, oh, listen, you know, the weather tomorrow is blah, blah. And I said, nah, you don't want to text him with that. Then, of course, I'm looking up and I'm talking about, well, what do I do? And they said, call him and say you're sorry. And it was so incredible. I called and I said, listen, I'm really sorry for fighting with you. And I know you're going through hell, and the last thing you need was another fight. Yet, quite addicted to fighting, but I didn't get into that. I just said, I'm really sorry for fighting with you, and, you know, I know you're going through an incredibly hard time. And then I said, I felt my father-in-law said, tell him something, because it was related to business and business getting a little slow, and it makes it challenging, very challenging. And I said, so I said to him, you know, Grandpa's telling me to tell you there was business before, and there'll be business again. And that was the end of it. And I knew after he read that, he was crying. He was crying. I said, just let it be. Next day, he called and went, what a change. You've been struggling with this relationship with him where he sucks you in and you go right into fear because fear is contagious and you fall right into it. And I said, well, I don't know how to get out. And it was through guidance that the text and the words came so perfectly and went, that's the way out. Perfect. I just wanted to share that. And
that
thank
is
every one of you on the call. God bless you all.
Oh, that was perfect, Susan. I mean, that was just exquisite perfection. You did it.
It felt that way. I did it.
Yep.
The only way is by looking up and blessing my
that's
soul.
Exactly.
And
that's
how could
it.
I be a good advisor? Don't look up and ask. The biggest, I said it the last time I was on the call, it's fear. I don't know how to deal with the, you know, with the fear. I said, yes, you do. You will be guided. Trust it. You will be guided how to deal with it. You will be guided.
That's
how could you be a good advisor?
It.
That's something you have to ask for first. Right?
If you look down, you'll be guided further down. If you look sideways, you'll be stumped. If you look up, you'll get your answer. That's simple.
Right. Really, that those courses, every I said, what do you do in this? Not just what I do with you, but what I do in the OA meetings. If you can't, you got to start using this stuff, Susan. I said, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I have been, but there are a lot of areas where I wasn't. But I just, that's it. Look up. And then they said, text. And this is what we want you to text. And it was like, OMG. And that stands for, oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, that's a joke on me. You know, but bless all of you, every single one of you. So sustaining. So sustaining.
Oh,
and I think
well,
you're
that
right.
Was so perfect,
I mean,
Susan.
Love is everything.
It is.
Thank you for sharing
and
that.
Another thing that you could have mentioned, because you did in a sideways kind of way, is that when you look up, you'll find guidance. And it's the kind of guidance
absolutely.
You want. You look up, you might find Yeshua, you might find God, you might find teachers. You'll probably find your ancestors or your guardian angels. But you'll find someone worth giving words of wisdom to you.
How true that
is. It just works that way. It just works that way. Okay, my dear friends, we are sliding toward the hour and a half mark, and other people in other parts of the world are waiting for their blessings. So I think we should probably get ready to receive one here. But I'm glad everybody who spoke up did, because you all contributed to a message that everybody needed to hear. And that's what I love about our community, because it's not just about leadership. It's about community. It's about all of us being of service to one another with our experience, our wisdom, and our issues that we're trying to sort through and master. Okay. Well, now, for all of you going to receive the blessing and the blessing givers, wanting to stand with me and facilitate a blessing, let's first of all just stretch out a little bit. We want your body nice and fluid. You know, we don't need you to do yoga poses. We just want you to, if you can stand, if you can't stand, then do it in your chair. But move your legs and your arms around and turn your torso so you get a little movement in your spine. Lean forward, lean back. Move your neck around to the right and the left and back and forward. get some movement in that. Okay, even your fingers, make a little fist and then stretch your fingers out. Fold your arm at the elbow and lift your arms up to make little baby wings and flap a little bit. This gets the rib cage moving. Okay, and now we're going to add to that one big deep breath. Let's just inhale as far as you can and hold it for a couple of seconds and continue the expansion in those 2 seconds. Now let's release it. All right, and as you release, let your shoulders fall over your torso so that you just feel the relaxation. And just be with that relaxation for a couple of seconds. Now let's take another very deep breath. Okay, in, and expand and hold for a second or two. Whatever you can do. Yeah. Okay, enjoy that expansion. If you lift your arms, you'll get even more. All right, now let's expel the air. And relax. We're gonna start now with our 4-square breath. I won't take a lot of time to explain it because we're kind of moving on towards the time where we need to be in the blessing, but it's important. So I will. The 4-square breath is you're gonna breathe out, then you're gonna pause. You're gonna breathe in and then pause. But envision it like a box you're going around. Okay, and you're going to count to 4, and it's your kind of 4, whatever 4 means to you, just could be fast, could be slow, it doesn't matter. The important thing is going to make the breath mindful to you. You're going to be aware of the fact that you're giving forth a breath into life. Then you're going to be very aware that you're pausing to let it be received. You're going to take a breath back into yourself. So you're receiving now, and you're going to pause so that what you receive can be assimilated into your body. Okay? And these are not special deep breaths. These are ordinary breaths, something that you would breathe if you were listening to music, driving a car, walking through the house, your ordinary breath. But you're going to be observant of it. That's the difference. And you're going to be observant of the giving, the pausing, the receiving, the pausing, and so forth. All right. Now, you just continue your 4-square breath. And I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. O Lord, our brother, our God, our teacher, our Redeemer, who has carved a place for us in the eternal gardens of heaven, where our soul lives even now and visits with you daily. We ask for your presence here, where our problems and our issues are, that we may reconnect with ourself through your willingness and your grace to be with us here, and show us that there's not any great distance between our physical and our immortal self. It's just a matter, a dimension, a simple dimension of life. We ask that you be here with us, that we may have more courage to look up when we are inside our issues and our problems, that we may have more faith as we look for answers along the road. We ask that you would heal those who don't have the courage right now or the understanding to find the help they need, that you be their rescue and their help,
and therein they will look for you again. We ask that you be with the poor, that their needs may be met, that you feed the hungry, and you hold the children in your arms, that they may know they are loved. We ask that you welcome those who are leaving this realm and moving into the eternal realm of their being, that they may feel a great welcome coming home and know that that's where they are and where they belong. We ask that you would be with those who have lost their loved ones, that they may know nothing is ever lost. There's just a transition of places in which to be, in which to be together. We ask that you heal every broken heart and you lift hope to where it can provide answers for a life. That you bring us up to our potential for receiving and blessing and being in a positive way with one another. We surrender into our silence now to receive your blessing, your touch, your love. And we thank you for all you have given us. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me? Let us stand together and offer the blessing.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you're not finished receiving, so I want you to lie down. Be flat on a bed, on a sofa, a mat on the floor. Whatever works for you, just be flat. It's okay if you fall asleep. It's not okay if you think. Don't even continue your prayer because you will activate your mind. Your mind has no answers about what you're receiving. If it did, you would already have received. You've got to have a blank slate upon which God writes the blessings he's giving. So, let us just be in peace. Surrender in faith. And just be who you are. Who you are is loved by God. And that's it. Bye-bye for now.